Throughout the 50 days of Easter, sacred music for the world. LutheranPublicRadio.org. Listen 24/7 to sacred music for the Easter season. LPR, LutheranPublicRadio.org.
The hymn, I Am Jesus' Little Lamb, sung by the Children's Choirs of St. Paul's Lutheran Church in Fort Wayne, Indiana. These are the kind of hymns that the church sings around this time of the year because the church is there in John chapter 10 in the gospel readings, near the Good Shepherd. Now, this is one of those things where the church returns to it year after year, always at a different spot in John's 10th chapter there. But the same shepherd stands there in the midst of the flock, and he has the same message for his sheep, that he knows them, they know him, they hear his voice, he gives them eternal life, he lays down his life for them, and he lays it down to take it up again. We're going to talk about all of that as we teach a Sunday school lesson, The Good Shepherd in John chapter 10. Pastor Tom Baker joins us on this Tuesday afternoon. He's host of a radio show called Law and Gospel. Tom, welcome back.
Thank you, Todd.
You've been preaching on texts like this, John chapter 10, in and around that Good Shepherd passage for more than 40 years, I think. How has your preaching changed over the years on the Good Shepherd?
Not a bit. Next question. Of course it's changed. I kind of think, you know, when you tell a parent to raise their children up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord, they can do it to some degree, but they can't do it as well as a Sunday school teacher, for example, who comes to pastor classes to learn about, and they don't do it as well as a SEM student after his second year. And those SEM students don't do it as well as when they become vicars, and then you become a pastor, and then with years and years on you, if you do what you're supposed to be doing, namely continue to be reading about what other people are saying about the Bible and looking at it, boy, things, I wouldn't say they change. I believe that first time I read this, Jesus is the Good Shepherd, but what I like to do on my program is show insights that I was unaware of. For example, I even learned one better than I had known in the Growing in Christ series, which is, of course, the CPH Sunday School material. They have here a little story about a pastor who preached that sheep are basically stupid and smelly. But then the pastor went to his barber, and the barber says, no, they're not dumb or stupid. The problem with the sheep is they cannot see well. And because they cannot see well, they get scared by every little thing. But the one thing that really helps them is hear the voice of the pastor. And suddenly it hit me as I read that, that is really not only a great law and gospel understanding, but it's a great way of understanding the Christian church. We do not live in the Christian church by sight. We live by ear, not by eye, but by ear. In fact, the chapter just before this is Jesus heals a man born blind. And what brings him to faith? Not that he was healed by Jesus, but when Jesus says, you know, the Messiah you're looking for, I am he. And he heard those words and he believed. And we get back to Romans 10, faith comes by hearing. So human beings are like sheep. I'm going to change this in my teaching from here on, that we can't see very well. When you use your own sight, you're going to run into all kinds of problems. But when you hear the word of God, you now get eyes of faith and see things that you never realized before.
So this is very evident in the reading that comes up on Good Shepherd Sunday, and the one that can be taught in the classrooms, where Jesus actually says, my sheep hear my voice. He makes a strong contrast between those who are saying, tell us if you're the Messiah or not. And he says, I told you, you didn't believe. And you don't believe because you're not part of my flock, and my flock, my sheep, hear my voice.
Yes. And in fact, it even says in verse 8, all who came before me, and he's of course talking to the Pharisees and Sadducees, are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not listen to them. I am the door. And another great concept here is that understanding of knowing. Verse 14, I am the good shepherd. I know my own, and my own know me. Now, that word for know is the same word used when Adam knew Eve, and they bore a son. In other words, it's not just an intellectual knowing, but it's a very close personal relationship. And in fact, Jesus goes so far, and he compares also not of his knowing to us, but just as the Father knows me, and I know the Father. So what a distinct difference that Jesus knows us like a shepherd knows his sheep, and the sheep know him because they listen to what his voice says.
So what else is there in this relationship that Jesus says he has with us like a shepherd and sheep that we need to know about?
Well, it's really somewhat marvelous the way Jesus uses different metaphors. On the one hand, he's the shepherd, but then he starts talking about that he's the door. Now, in the sheep enclosure, there were usually big stones put in a kind of a circle so the sheep couldn't get out, and there was only one entrance, namely the gate. And some scholars will say that actually the shepherd lay down in the gate at night when he went to sleep, because therefore nobody could get in. He was actually taking his life in his own hands if, say, a wolf or whatever else would come around to take care of the sheep. So this is how much he lays his life down for the sheep if necessary. And Jesus is not these hired shepherds, because there's two things about the sheep. Number one, he owns them, whereas a hireling doesn't own them. That's critical. And the second thing is, of course, the sheep know him, and they will often not follow the voice of a stranger. And it's a beautiful example of how important divine service is when we listen to the liturgy, the hymns, the readings, the sermon, the words of institution, a baptism. This is now Jesus speaking to us. And particularly in this day and age, with immorality becoming, oh, it's okay to do this and do that as long as you don't hurt someone, it's most important that we get, especially young people, back to understanding that the voice of Jesus is 10 times more important, a million times more important than the voice of a professor or someone who is denying the Word of God.
So this isn't... you know, I listen to this person, that person, I kind of get this over there and that over there. One either hears the shepherd's voice or it's some other voice.
Yes, exactly. Another great point, and you can't see this in the English, but when Jesus says, I am the door, he doesn't say, I am the door. There's a verb, emi, which is I am. The pronoun is part of the word. But he says, ego emi. And that is the way that in the Greek you use the word of God given to Moses at Mount Sinai, Yahweh, which is roughly translated, I am who I am. And many a time, especially in John, you hear Jesus again saying, I am the door, I am the good shepherd. And he's using the Greek in such a way that he's referring to himself as God. And in fact, in the Garden of Gethsemane, when the soldiers ask him, "Are you Jesus of Nazareth?" and he says, "I am," he does it again, "Ego emi," and they fall down backwards because they're in the midst of blasphemy. These are not Roman soldiers, these are Jewish soldiers. And just like the high priest tore his clothes in the midst of what he considered to be blasphemy, so these soldiers, when they hear this word of Jesus, I am, wow, he's saying that he's God. And that cannot be part of your understanding unless you receive faith through the Holy Spirit.
So Jesus is making a claim about himself here. It's not just, you know, this is the kind of protective relationship I have with those who follow me and listen to my teaching. He's making divine claims, too.
Absolutely. In a Bible class I was leading this morning, they wanted to take a look at how many prophecies in the Old Testament are fulfilled in the New Testament. And you know how many I found, Todd? 350. It's 9 pages long, and all it is one line for the Old Testament, what it's talking about, and the 350. I didn't even know there were that many. But we see this here again and again. The Good Shepherd is talked about all places in the Old Testament. Ezekiel 34, where the Lord God says, "I will feed my flock, I will make them lie down." In Isaiah 40, it says, "He will feed his flock like a shepherd. He will gather the lambs with the arm." And Ezekiel 34, another portion, "I will establish one shepherd over them, and he shall feed them." And there he's talking about my servant David, where he says, I, the Lord, will be their God, and my servant David, a prince among them, I, the Lord, have spoken. And of course, when Jesus appears at his ascension in Revelation 5, it says he is from the tribe of Judah, of the house of David. He is the new David, the new shepherd, who, of course, never sins and does what the shepherds in the Old Testament did for us, his people.
Pastor Tom Baker is our guest. He hosts a radio show called Law and Gospel. You'll find a link to it at our website, issuesetc.org. We're teaching a Sunday school lesson from John chapter 10, The Good Shepherd. We'll be right back.
Who was it, everybody?
It was Jesus.
It was Jesus Christ, our Lord. Now pay close attention, little children. It's somebody you ought to know. Yeah, it's all about a man that walked on earth nearly 2,000 years ago.
In my family, education means cultivating wisdom and virtue by teaching what is good, true, and beautiful. Memoria Press makes this type of education possible with their classical Christian curriculum. Characterized by simplicity, quality, and affordability, Memoria Press gives my children a rich classical education. Get $5 off your next order by using the coupon code LPR. For more information, go to memoriapress.com. Memoria Press, saving Western civilization one student at a time.
We know that you want to build your family on the right foundation from the very start, the foundation of Jesus Christ. Concordia Publishing House offers more than 8,000 products for churches, schools, and homes, dedicated customer service, and an experienced staff to help you focus on what matters most. Click to connect at cph.org. Concordia Publishing House, listening, responding, providing for God's people. Concordia Publishing House, cph.org.
Theology for blue collar, white collar, and clerical collar. You're listening to Issues, Etc.
Thanks to the following congregations for standing with us by joining the Issues, Etc. 300. Gloria Christi Lutheran, Greeley, Colorado. St. John's Lutheran, Rosemount, Minnesota. Trinity Lutheran, Waltham, Minnesota. Trinity Lutheran, Fredericktown, Missouri. Zion Lutheran, Gravelton, Missouri. Christ the King Lutheran, Billings, Montana. Redeemer Lutheran, Nashville, Tennessee. And Zion Lutheran, Douglas, Wyoming. Find out how your church can support this worldwide outreach by including Issues, Etc. in your mission or advertising budget. Go to our website, issuesetc.org, and click support. When your congregation joins the Issues Etc. 300, we'll advertise your congregation on the radio, at our website, and in the Issues Etc. journal. issuesetc.org, click support. The Issues Etc. 300. Welcome back. I'm Todd Wilkin. This is Issues Etc. On this Tuesday afternoon, April the 19th, we're teaching a Sunday school lesson, as we do every week, with Pastor Tom Baker of Law and Gospel. We're in John chapter 10, Jesus' words about himself as the Good Shepherd. A couple of things I wanted to discuss with you here, because along with the metaphor that we have of shepherd, which is more than a metaphor, of course, there comes thieves, robbers, wolves, all kinds of dangers here. There comes the single sheep straying away. There comes all the other stuff that we get in Psalm 23 as well. Talk about some of that, Tom.
Yes, in Psalm 23 particularly, the most favorite verse I like is Psalm 23, verse 3. He restores my soul. That actually means he brings a person back to life. And that is specifically what Jesus has done. Probably the most important part of Jesus' mission was to come and die on the cross. That's why Christians are to be theologians of the cross. Now, it's of some interest that in this passage, which is the Sunday school lesson for this coming week, four times, just in chapter 10 of John, between verses 11 and 18, four times, Jesus talks about giving up his life. Verse 11, I'm the good shepherd. The good shepherd gives his life for the sheep. Verse 15, as the Father knows me, even so I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. Verse 17, therefore my Father loves me, because I lay down my life that I may take it again. And verse 18, no one takes it from me, but I lay it down of myself. I have power to lay it down. I have power to take it again. This command I have received from my Father. This is the essence of Jesus' determined walk to Jerusalem so that he would be crucified. He even told his disciples, I'm going to be crucified, but then 3 days later I will raise from the dead. And it appeared that they didn't hear that part, because he had to say finally to Peter, get thee behind me, Satan, when he wanted to stop Jesus from being crucified. This is the greatest love. How did Jesus know these things were going to happen? Well, out of the 350 passages in the Old Testament we were looking at today, a number of them are very specific about his death. He's going to be pierced in hands and feet. They're going to gamble for his clothes. He's going to be thirsty. But I think the most important thing, and remember, it was that Roman centurion who, after seeing it, said, truly this must be the Son of God. It's at verse 18. He has power to lay it down. Nobody being crucified ever had the power to die when they wished. But once Jesus had fulfilled every Old Testament prophecy, and the last one to be fulfilled was, I thirst, he then gave up the spirit. He said, this is finished, and he died. And the resurrection is very clear from the Bible, that not only the Father and the Holy Spirit cooperated in the resurrection of Jesus, but he himself rose himself from the dead. This is the essence of the Christian faith, that Jesus has become your substitute in paying the punishment that should be yours. So if I was trying to get something across to the children, how do they get into the sheepfold? Because an unbeliever doesn't want to go into the sheepfold, because they don't want to be under that particular shepherd. But it's very clear that he is the door. What does that mean? That means, going back to Luke 15, He picks up the sheep on his shoulders, and he takes them through the door. And how does that happen to little children that you are talking to in Sunday school? That's what happened in their baptism. They were baptized into the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. They therefore became a member of the family of God. They became part of the sheepfold. And all the promises that you hear in chapter 10 here, that Jesus will take care of them as the main shepherd, you can now relate to even children in Sunday school.
So this is something we need to press home with the kids. We started out by hearing, I am Jesus' little lamb. And I think there's a profound truth in this for the children who hear this. For them, that picture of the shepherd, who is their protector, but who protects them in that particular way, Tom, not just by kind of watching over them throughout life and guiding them here and there and stuff like that, which is all important and true, but by actually sacrificing himself for them, putting himself in the way of death for them. So they understand Jesus, the good shepherd, in that way. Talk about that.
Yes, and recently, I had the privilege of doing a sermon when a pastor announced he was taking a call. You can imagine how the people were really concerned. Here's the point I made in the sermon, one of them, is that you're not losing your shepherd, you're losing your under-shepherd. In Latin, shepherd is the word for pastor. Therefore, it's very important. 1 Peter chapter 5, Peter's talking to those pastors. Shepherd the flock of God which is among you, serving as overseers, not by compulsion, but willingly, not for dishonest gain, but eagerly, not as being lords over those entrusted to you, but being examples to the flock. And now listen to verse 4, 1 Peter 5, and when the chief shepherd appears, you will receive the crown of glory that does not fade away. We pastors are simply to repeat the word of God as the chief shepherd has had it written in Holy Scripture and allow the Holy Spirit, therefore, to create faith. And if we can help our children to understand that anytime they come to a problem of morality, etc., that God's word is the final place where they will hear the shepherd. And along with his commandments, he also will lie down for you, take care of you, protect you with his staff and crook.
And then finally, Tom, if you would, the law and the gospel for all of us, including the kids in the Sunday school classroom, from this John chapter 10 passage, the Good Shepherd.
The law is, as unbelievers, we were unable to become part of God's kingdom. You can't invite Christ into your heart. You can't do a lot of good works to offset your sins. There's nothing you can do. We're poor, miserable sinners. What we deserve is nothing but temporal and eternal punishment. So what is the gospel? The gospel is that God carries us through the door into the sheepfold by means of the sacrament of baptism for sure, or for many people who hear the word of God, and when they believe it, they are part of the family of God. That is really important. So we ought not rely on our sight and look to ourselves and see, boy, I'm a terrible sinner, I'm not going to heaven. But rely instead on our hearing of the word of God that Jesus even said from the cross, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do.
Pastor Tom Baker is host of a radio show called Law and Gospel. Tom, thank you very much for being our guest.
And thank you, Todd.
Tom is always kind enough to mention Growing in Christ, a Sunday school curriculum from Concordia Publishing House. You can get a free copy of Growing in Christ to see for yourself that it is Christ-centered and cross-focused. Call them 1-800-325-3040, 1-800-325-3040. You'll also find a link to Growing in Christ on the Listen On Demand page at issuesetc.org. Tomorrow on Issues Etc., we'll discuss Christ's descent into hell. That's a tricky one for a lot of Christians. They have a hard time figuring out where that particular part of the Apostles' Creed comes from in Holy Scripture. Dr. Curtis Giese will be our guest to answer some of those questions. We'll also get our weekly update on the November elections. I'm sure there'll be a lot to talk about after tonight's primaries and caucuses, especially in New York. Journalists Mark and Molly Hemingway of the Weekly Standard and the Federalist will join us. And on Thursday, we'll discuss Pope Francis's encyclical on marriage and the family with Dr. Peter Scare of Concordia Theological Seminary in Fort Wayne, Indiana. I'm Todd Wilkin. I'll talk with you tomorrow. Thanks for listening to Issues Etc.
Listen weekday afternoons to Pastor Todd Wilkin and guests on Issues Etc. Issues Etc. is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is vital for the continuation and expansion of this worldwide outreach. Our mailing address, Issues Etc., P.O. Box 83, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Box 83, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. You can also donate at our website, issuesetc.org. Issues Etc. is a production of LPR, Lutheran Public Radio.
You can support the boys' basketball program at Metro East Lutheran High School in Edwardsville, Illinois, by entering a team into our annual Golf Scramble fundraiser. It's Saturday, May 28th at Oakbrook Golf Course in Edwardsville. Hi, this is Anthony Smith, head boys' basketball coach at Metro East Lutheran High School. Join me and fellow Knights for a Golf Scramble, May 28th at Oakbrook Golf Course. For more information, send me an email, anthony.smith@melhs.org. Thanks for your support.
What makes Christ Our Savior Lutheran Church in Freeburg, Illinois so special? Our new members talk about the family atmosphere, the welcoming people, and the outstanding music. But most importantly, you'll be confronted with your sin and comforted with the assurance that Jesus has removed that sin so that you can live each day as His baptized and forgiven child. Christ Our Savior Lutheran Church is at 612 North State Street in Freeburg, Illinois. Sunday worship is at 9 a.m., Sunday school and Bible classes at 10:20 a.m. Call 618-539-5664.